Goofy?
What are you doing?
I'm alright.
Oh yeah? Why didn't you click on the link?
Oh shit, I should have.
Yeah, we got a podcast right now. Kick us off, bud. It's all you tonight.
Oh, thank God. I did some research. I'm all good. Welcome back, everybody, into the Great Wide Opens on the Straycast platform. It's been a couple weeks, or a month. So I've been on the road. Bruce has been home birthing children. We're ready to get back at it.
Yep.
Like to thank all our sponsors. We got a bunch of them. Powerhouse Lithium, ProTran, Crust City, Omnia. I mean, we got some of the best in the biz. FXR for me. Just got back to Minnesota here, chilling out a couple days at the fighter home, and have the sports show coming up in a day or two. Looking forward to seeing everyone out at the Northwest Sports Show, and then off to the Classic.
Yep, I'm just answering one word answers, Brad. You just keep rolling, partner. I want to see what this is like to just rip on the popcorn and fire in with a joke once in a while. You're doing great, bud.
You're the talker though. You're the scoper. You're the talker. You're the glue that holds us all together, Brucey.
Why'd you have to bring up the scope thing?
It's kind of a hot conversation right now. Anytime you can say scope or forward facing, I think you get 100 extra clicks.
Yeah. No one really bugs me about the scope thing because I have gray hair and I'm an adult. It's just when they see it on the kids, they just terrorize them.
Those poor kids. I have to talk a little bit about the app at Omnia. So
I don't want you to talk about that. It's too damn juicy. That's like, honestly, when I first saw it, I heard it on Bass Talk Live. Pete was on there talking about it and I bought it right then and there. And it's like kind of a little sneak. Everyone's got everything these days. So if you can get an edge on them, it's kind of good, but I guess you gotta do what you gotta do, bud.
We gotta help out our people at Omnia, but it is definitely, I used it a lot, like the pre warm up for Santee and actually during practice. It's, you know, if you're looking for clear water, warm water, you know, a thunderstorm coming, a boat ramp. I mean, it's all right there. It has Navionics, so you don't have to, you know, you could be fishing off the bank with this thing and have 1 foot contours out there. So it is a real weapon, a real tool. And I mean, it's something you know, from the weekend guy to the fun fisherman to the BFL guy, it's probably a must have, and it's, you know, super reasonable. It's under $50. You get it. You can do a 7-day free trial. So, I mean, it's pretty legit. I think you're going to have it in the description below. I'm sure that you click onto our link and go over to Omnia and sign her up.
Yeah, a couple other links down there too. Links to Powerhouse Lithium batteries. They got the 16 volt. They got the 36 volt trolling motor batteries, the run and gun systems. You just keep her chooching all day long. A couple other links to Omnia. People always ask me about my big long pole at the bow of my boat. And I'm not sponsored or affiliated or anything. I'm just sick of answering. So it's a beat down ultimate mount. They started in the crappie world. And if you're 6.5 feet tall and spend most of your day staring at your scope, want to save your neck a little, click the link there. They sell them at Omnia. But yeah, I'd say hop on Omnia and check out the Crush City freeloaders, but I think they're kind of yard sailing all over the US. I've had a couple buddies now. Tyler Williams actually asked on the Get the Net podcast last week. I had him on. That guy is such a jig fanatic. He just took a white jig and a freeloader, like a big 3/4 ounce rubber skirted jig, put a freeloader on it, and that was his moping minnow rig. Mid-strolling with a giant jig. He asked me to grab some for him too. So keep an eye on those. As soon as colors you want are back in stock, they might be right now. Who knows? But obviously that stuff catches fish. Doesn't really need a push from us, but
definitely
she's a catcher.
I will tell you what, we spent, you know, it's basically a bad tournament down on Santee, and I spent a legit 10 hours a day going, you know, full speed on that Garmin trolling motor, the Garmin Force. And those powerhouse lithiums just, I mean, at the end of the day, I still had 40%, 50%. I mean, they are a weapon too.
Yeah, I remember when you used to have to put the guys on Champlain to be putting generators in their boat.
I was one of those guys one day on Tonka. I used to do that all the time. You never could get more than about 8 hours out of them.
Yeah, you should just skip the batteries and run her straight off Jenny.
Yeah, you'd probably go like 6 miles an hour. That'd be great.
Yeah, but anyway, we've got the Opens champ, Kyle Austin. He's been around the Opens for years. He's always teasing it. He's a good dude, a good angler. We're going to have a good chat with him. And Brad, you got to check at the last Open. That's tough to do, man. There's 185 or 180 now people that went there hoping to get paid, and only 45 of them do. So it's not easy to get a top 40 in the Opens. And congrats, bud. You're on a streak now. You had that BFL check too.
Yeah, it feels good to be on the right side of things. I think, I don't know what the difference was, but just keep the head down, keep grinding. You know, it's amazing the disparity between the EQs this year, the point race, it's last year's like by this time, everyone was 200 points behind. And, you know, there's a couple guys killing it this year, but it seems like everyone's having a big flop. So, I'm focused at the prize at the end of the year for sure.
Yeah, we're going to get into that with Kyle too. One of my favorite parts about following you on Bass Track for those couple of days is on the last stray cast into the Great Wide Opens we did, you spelt your name wrong. You wrote B-A-R-D, Bard. And I had a lot of people called you out on my YouTube channel, and I had a lot of people chiming in saying, go Bard. Like lots of comments.
Man, do I get royalties for that?
If 7 people say your name backwards, I don't think that's how it works, but we'll have to check.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm dyslexic, so that happens once in a while.
What else do you want to talk about before we get them on here? Should be hopping on any second. It's your show, man.
Okay. I mean, I think we have to talk about the classic coming up. I mean, the biggest derby in the world. I mean, I believe you're heading down there Thursday or Friday. I'm going to head down there Tuesday to help set up with FXR. And man, that's an exciting tournament coming up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be a time. It's good to see everyone. Good to catch up. It's just kind of a pretty big damn party of like-minded people. So I'm just swooping in for the glory. I'm only going for a couple nights, but it's going to be fun. There's Kyle right there. This is a busy man, so we'll get him on here as quick as we can.
Omnia Premium Pro gives you the confidence to eliminate dead water on thousands of lakes across the U.S. Exclusively on the Omnia app, use 10 unique data layers containing critical real-time mapping information to see water temperature, water clarity, contours, lake bed hardness, and important weather data all in one place. Matched with Omnia's loyalty credit program on all your tackle and gear needs, this is the only app you need in your arsenal for success on the water.
What's up, bud?
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Just getting ready to go back fishing.
Are you on the guide program today?
Not today, no. I actually just went and picked my boat back up from Falcon. But I got my tri-tune outside getting ready to chase some catfish the next couple of days.
Oh, cat daddy. You didn't clear off the bookings at all? You had to have known you had a pretty damn good chance at winning this tournament when you saw it on the schedule.
Did I think I was going to win it coming into it? I knew I had a good shot. I spent a lot of time here. There's really not many locals around here. So, but going into it with the spawn and everything, I really thought my chances were going down. I mean, it was definitely a slugfest, but we got it done. It definitely worked out. It was actually good. The fish were moving, so during practice, it was changing every day. So I kind of had confidence in a lot of areas of where they were coming. So I kept an open mind and kind of had a lot of confidence in fishing new water every day, unlike a lot of people did.
Yeah, Well, it was an awesome win, man. I'm glad you didn't let Scott Martin win. That would have looked really bad for Opens Anglers. That'd be an issue.
I know. This year's already crazy. It seems like the points race isn't as high as it was last year. Last year it seemed like nobody slipped up, and it seems like this year we already have a handful of guys have some, mediocre tournaments and have some good ones. It seems like the average isn't as much as it was last year. So,
yeah, it definitely isn't. I'm sure you follow that Advanced Bass Stats on Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's already at like a 38th or 39th place average to be in the top nine.
If you had that going in, I think last year, I might be wrong, but I think it was a 42.5 place average for the last spot in.
Yeah.
And it's already, almost past that pace. Like last year, you had guys that gave up like 20 points in three tournaments, three of them or so. But I think the schedule is just so wild this year. Last year, all the crazy ones were like St. Lawrence River, Harris Chain, Ozarks was a big switch up, where the first three were kind of all fairly similar.
It seemed like everywhere we went last year, it seemed like we did the same thing. I mean, it might have been a little different fishery, but I felt like I showed up to practice and I looked for the same thing every tournament last year.
Yeah, anyway, a lot more dynamic to the schedule this year, a lot more flops. Good news for, someone who's already got like a fire 150th in there, or even 170th. It's not, but Brad's got his hand up. But that doesn't mean you're out of it. Like, it might be more to the predicted, 50th place average gets you in, like everyone was saying before last year kicked off. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. I think it's more of what we projected last year. Last year kind of got us by surprise. I mean, they caught them way better than I ever thought they were going to catch them last year. Because I felt like I did my job last year. If you look at my results, I mean, dang, I felt like I caught them. I still didn't make it. So hopefully this year we can get in there.
I was looking back through your results. So this is your third year doing all of them?
Yeah.
So the year last year, I think you cashed 5 out of 9 last year, didn't you? Or 6 out of 9?
I think it was 5 or 6 out of 9, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much crushed it last year. And I think you had one or two not even that horrible finishes. And
yeah,
it was brutal.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I felt like I did my job last year. Them guys really caught them and made it hard to slide in there.
Yeah. And you were the low key guy. We brought you up on the show a couple times, especially last year. Cause you just kind of like, you had the highest finish without making a top 10.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you didn't get a whole lot of press or anything. It was just like, okay, he hasn't made a top 10, but he hasn't finished below 70th in any of these. Like that's a seasoned Opens guy playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple – I mean, when I first started and first, really started fishing Opens, I felt like I've been fishing forever, but I'd always have a top 10, but I'd always have, like, one or two, like, really bad tournaments. And going into it last year, I was like, man, if I could just stay consistent. I room with Sam George, which is probably one of the most consistent anglers out there. And I knew if I could just stay consistent and eventually I would, bust the top 10 and that would, seal the deal. But it just never happened for me last year.
Yeah, it's not a damn easy feat either. Like, definitely make the elites without ever sniffing the top 10. And then you can pretty much survive a whole career without making a top 10 either.
I know. Yeah.
So playing the long game, that's cool. What do you think? This is a kind of crazy thing, too. All three Opens so far have been won by locals.
Yeah, that's definitely different. Usually it's the local curse. If you're from there, it usually doesn't work out good. But I think some of the locals that won are seasoned tournament guys. They're not guys that just fish, local tournaments like Saturday tournaments and stuff. These are guys that have been on the road and fish multi-day tournaments, and it's definitely different. There's a couple guys I know fished this past tournament, and they did good. They had some good days and bad days, but I think just being around it for a while and knowing how to manage a 3-day tournament, especially to have a shot to win, it's a lot different. Especially on this lake. I mean, this lake is, you can catch 30 pounds one day and catch 10 pounds the next day.
Yeah, I think we saw that in the results pretty plainly.
Yeah,
there was lots of flippy flopping going on.
Were you shocked on the weights it took there, or were you kind of expecting that?
I mean, it's always got the recipe to, have like where 20 pounds is way down the leaderboard. But the last 2 years, ever since we had eelgrass and hydrilla in the lake, the weights haven't been that impressive down the leaderboard the last few years. I think the fish are a lot more spread out. So it definitely, day one caught me off guard. I thought I had a really good day with almost 25 pounds. And I got back to weigh in and I was like, my gosh, I could possibly not get paid if I don't catch them tomorrow. So
I was I had almost 24 the first day and I'm like, oh, that's a good start. And I was 18th. I'm like, holy Christmas, they're catching them.
I know. And I figured, I think there's a lot of fish spawning. I think a lot of guys relied on sight fishing. Yeah. And just from being here, our pollen is some of the worst pollen you can ever get in the country. So it makes it hard for them sight fishermen, especially when the water was rising on the upper lake and then falling on the lower lake. I felt like guys were going to slip up, and they did. And I had one of the best days I've had on the lake in a long time. So it worked out.
Yeah, Breezy missed it. Like, that was – Santee Cooper is one of the coolest lakes I've ever been to. I feel like you can win it in a vast majority of the lake, and usually that it's just not that way every place we go. That place is special.
I think me and Brad were at we were at the weigh-in line at Ouachita talking about it, and I think I said that where it's a pretty cool place because you can fish around nobody and still be on the winning fish. I mean – I honestly, for me in 3 days, I really didn't see a whole lot of guys. I kind of stayed away from the areas that were crowded, but I really didn't see a lot of guys in some popular areas where I thought for sure there'd be some guys figuring out.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of live. It was pretty unfortunate, the weather on the last day.
I know.
It was pretty damn hard to watch. Like, everyone was just a drowned rat out there, only fished till one. Was there ever a point in the day, like the day was reduced, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, an hour and a half. I was kind of glad it was reduced an hour and a half because I knew I was catching them early. And looking back at Bass Track from the first couple of days, I was actually leading the tournament every day until like 12 or 1 o'clock on Bass Track. And then guys would eventually catch back up to me and then, you know, it was – so I knew a lot of guys were catching in the afternoon, so I figured it was to my advantage if we got to fish a half a day. But I wanted to fish a full day because, you know, that place – I mean, I could have started and never caught anything and needed all day to catch them. So it was definitely – it was scary going out there the final day. I know how that lake gets, man. I've been out there where you physically can't get across the lake. So it was – we got blessed. It wasn't as bad as what they were anticipating, but we definitely – it was definitely a scary feeling going back out there to find the day.
Did you know you had her when you got in? Because I was pretty damn tight, like, especially for a whack fest. The top three were all kind of right there.
Yeah, so actually the local that was behind me, he was in second place going into today. I actually seen him like mid-morning in an area where he wasn't all week. So I kind of knew that he either A, caught him really good, or B, he was struggling. And I could tell by the way he was fishing, he probably didn't have a whole lot. So I knew Scott and Laker, they were, if I caught 27, I knew they were going to have to catch like 30 pounds, which we only seen two bags all week, you know, over 30 pounds. So, once I caught that 7.5 pounder, I knew I had a pretty good shot. I knew I had it at that point, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're in the unique position of having an open win. You've now qualified for the Classic and you got to sit on the sideline for this Classic. I'm sure lots of people don't understand and probably think you're in this Classic. With three opens prior to the Classic this year, there's a lot of guys already qualified that are sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. There's positives and negatives. You know, negatives, you get to sit on the sideline, but positives, you know, when you're talking to companies and stuff, now you can say that you're in the Classic for next year. You know, I'll be at the Classic this year working some sponsor booths and stuff. So it could help, you know, in the long run, as far as, you know, you're technically already qualified, you know, and there's only, I think, three of us that are qualified for the Classic so far. So,
yeah. And you, like, you have the advantage of having a full year to flex on it. Yeah. You know, if you qualified in October and it was in March, you'd be just be a flash in the pan. But
yeah,
you get to big dog it for a full year now.
Yeah. Hopefully we come up with a lot of positives with it. That was I needed a better resume, I feel like, with the industry sponsors. If y'all looked at the side of my boat, it's a lot of big local companies around here, construction companies and stuff like that. But I'm blessed to have them. They help me out financially a lot. And it's definitely the way to go for me. You know, not really digging a whole lot in the fishing industry. I have some good sponsors in the industry that have been with me since I fished BFLs. But having them local companies support me, it definitely means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. There's you can tell that you got to work for it. You know, it's not, yeah. It's not everyone on the outside sees younger guys coming up and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, dad's money, this dad's money, that, and you all kind of get thrown in that same basket, but you just said you're guiding for catfish out of a tri-tune, you know, on the days in between. Does it bug the hell out of you when you're out there working for a living and guiding away when you know there's a ton of guys out there like pre-practicing and legging up on you? Does that get to you, or are you pretty chill about it?
It used to a little bit, and then they changed the – it used to bother me more before we had the off-limits and the scheduled practice. When we had the unlimited amount of practice, it really – you know, it got to me every once in a while, but I never really let it bother me, you know, to that extent. So, I mean, I think we're all more on an even playing field. You know, pre-practice don't work for me. I pre-practiced like one time in the last 3 years, and I finished like 170th, so – I like to roll up. I wish we only practiced for 2 days and started the tournaments, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
I think it'd save us a lot of money too.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, it's expensive, you know, I mean, them extra nights we have to stay somewhere and pay for gas and fuel and all that. That part's expensive. And I think the fisheries would show out a lot more if we only had 2 days of practice, you know. Everybody just kind of get a feel of what the lake's doing, and I think we would all just more fish off our instincts. You know, now 5 days, man, the lake gets beat up. Them fish get smart. Brad's seen it. Bruce, you've seen it. You know, by the fifth day of practice, everybody knows what's going on.
It's crazy. It's like they have a beacon in your boat. It's like you find something the first 2 days, you might as well abandon it because everyone else is going to find it and trash it. You might as well move on to something different.
Yeah.
That's what made Santee so cool, because when we started, you know, I think there was a lot of fish out in the depths, and everyone watched the MLF, you know, so they're all like out chasing brush piles around, and I was fishing the bank knowing they were going to come to me sooner or later. And they started showing up better every day. Thank God. But
absolutely. Yeah. This time of the year, I mean, just looking at the forecast, when we get that many days here with the wind not blowing, I mean, it was slick calm for 4 or 5 days of practice. And anytime we get them stable conditions like that, they're coming to the bank. And it's kind of like Florida. When they come to the bank, it feels like they all come to the bank.
It's nice to see it finally happen. Cause every tournament, the buildup is all like, you know, all the articles and everything are like, oh yeah, it's getting nice. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then some guy wins on a minnow and a live scope, you know, it happens all the time where like, they don't even try to do that buildup anymore to see that actually like come to fruition. That's why it sucked that the weather was so shitty the final day. Cause it would have been, you know, would have been real cool to watch like an old, fairly old school. Were you on the Perspecto Vision or were you, I saw you were trapping.
So I started every morning like in a current seam, and I didn't use live scope at all. Honestly, I don't even know why I cut it on every morning. You can't see them in that current like that. It's ripping too hard. It's kind of like smallmouth fishing. Sometimes I get so glued to the bottom, you really can't see them. So every morning, I mean, I was just mainly making a cast. I mean, I was trying to hit a 5 gallon bucket size cast every time, and I'd never seen one eat it. I'd never seen a fish on live scope at that specific spot. And then the only time I kind of used it was on the cypress trees, but I would have still fished the same trees whether I had it or not. I mean, I've been fishing that lake my whole life. It just helped. Like if I made 2 or 3 casts up there, didn't get a bite, I could pan up there and be like, okay, there is one sitting there. So maybe I need to change angles, or I'll come back in 20 minutes and hit that tree again. But that's the only advantage I use with it. But really and truly, I don't think it helped me with the win at all. I really think if I didn't have it, I think it would have been the same results. Just out of fish the same way.
You would have just taken it off your boat at takeoff in the morning, you would have made Randy's calendar. Yeah. Doing one guy for every month who wins a tournament without live scope. So you could have been like Mr. February.
I mean, if you think about the last how many major tournaments, I mean, there's very few that have been won without live scope. So that's awesome. That's good to hear about. Gives us hope a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an anti-live scoper. I mean, I use it for, you know, my advantage when I have to. I mean, I'm more of a structure guy. I use it for brush pile, stump, stuff like that. I'm not a big, you know, chasing individual fish out there in the abyss. I don't really care for that a whole lot, but I definitely use it when I have to. And I mean, it was kind of cool to win it, really not using it. So it was kind of the old school way. I mean, that's what Santee reminds me of. You come to Santee, I mean, it's old school towns. Everybody, I mean, you got guys in John boats out there just catching bass, slamming them against coolers. I mean, it's an old school place. I mean, it ain't a very modernized lake, that's for sure.
Did I hear you knock your lower unit off in practice?
No, I didn't knock my lower unit off in practice. Now I haven't hit nothing all week. I hit a tree in the final day. I was stuck in the current and the tree whipped me around and I hit the side of my boat and had to get a little bit of fiberglass work done. But other than that, I did knock my motor off my pontoon boat back in October, if that's what you're talking about.
That's probably what I read then.
Yeah. I knocked the whole motor off the boat.
Did you have the full guide crew on board?
I did. I had six guys in the boat. Yeah.
That feels good, hey?
It was an awkward like 20 minutes, that's for sure.
You gotta put a leash on the pontoon now, or
I have one on there, yeah.
Nice.
That way if I rip it off, I can at least get it easier. Cause this one I had to go in the water, put a come along winch on there and winch it up, and we had to drag it all the way back to the landing.
Oh man. I crushed a rock when I was like 18 with a tiller boat full of gas way up north in the middle of nowhere guiding. Smoked the rock. Everyone came to a halt, like, you know, 58-year-old guys rolling around in the bow of the boat. They're like, what happened? I turn up the motor. I was like, I knocked the skeg off. He's like, well, what's a skeg? I was like, well, I'd fucking show you if I had one. There's nothing more demoralizing than hitting something when you're guiding. I guess getting lost would probably be the next thing.
Yeah, I've never been lost. I've been out there in some nasty weather. It's actually weird. Like, Santee's a big place. It gets rough. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's one of the roughest lakes I've been on. But the catfish, some of them nasty days when it's really gassing out there, that is when we crush the catfish. So that's why we fish out of big boats and we go out there when it's nasty.
How big do those cat daddies get out there? And what kind are they?
They're mostly all Arkansas blue catfish. A big one to me is like anything over 30 pounds is, you know, that's like catching a 6-pound bass. But we catch them, you know, 50, 60, 70 pounds pretty frequently.
You like that's have awesome. Catfish fries then? You eat those suckers or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all my clients pretty much, 90% of them keep the catfish. We, you know, the goal for me is to fill up a cooler with nice eating size fish, which are 10 to 20 pounders, and then anything over like 25 pounds, we usually throw them back, you know, catch and release on those.
Yeah. Do you fish out in the middle of the lake for them, or they move around, or how do you target those suckers?
So I fish Lake Marion the most. So if you're familiar with it now, they're either A, in the river channel, like on the south side of the lake that runs that river. They're either A, in that, on the sides of it, or they're up on the flats. Or they're out there in the dead forest, or the funnest way to catch them is when they're in the shallow water, which is right now. Like tomorrow, we probably won't fish no deeper than 4 foot for catfish tomorrow.
Like on Kentucky Lake, they have all these boxes built all over with rocks on them. And I think when the water rises, they go in there and spawn and they reach their hands in there and grab them. You guys do any of that or no?
I don't personally, but there is some guys out there, they noodle for them. But that's for flathead catfish.
Okay.
Yeah, I ain't sticking my hand in a hole.
That Oklahoma lake we went to last year had a bunch of them little cat daddy houses.
Yeah.
There were some bass in them, too. They're using them.
Oh, that's home for all.
You don't ever have to guide for bass there, do you?
I do guide for bass, yeah.
Is it kind of painful? Like, it doesn't seem like a major numbers lake. Like, it seems it'd be way more fun to go lean on.
Definitely not a numbers lake. The grass has kind of made it easier, like post-spawn, catching numbers. But I tell, like, most of my clients know before they come, like, hey, I'm going out there to try to catch y'all a 6, 7, 8, 9-pound bass. And we might only get 3 or 4 bites all day, but, you know, we'll have a shot at one of them giants. It's more people that, you know, never been to Santee Cooper and they want to come here just to experience the lake. That's kind of more my bass trips. And then my catfish trips, I get people from all over the place. It's actually a top probably five catfish lakes in the country. So a lot of people come here to catfish.
So what kind of, what's like a standard trip? Like who books the most of those?
The catfish trips?
Yeah. Like what does one look like?
Yeah. So most of them were usually four or five guys, 90% of the time. But I get a lot of families like in the summertime where it's, you know, a father or a mom, a dad and two kids or three kids, or I get bachelor trips. I've had bachelorette trips. I've had all types of stuff out there.
What's your go-to catfish bait? You like throw out a big chunk of meat or a liver or a chicken or what's the deal?
Yeah, so there's all different types of things, but we 90% of the time we use herring.
Herring.
Yeah. And we use the whole herring. They're usually, you know, 6 inches long, and we butterfly it, and we drift fish a lot. We use drift socks, kind of like they do up north. And we fish backwards, and we fish out the front of the boat, and we use the big motor to, you know, control where I'm going. We usually drift like 0.5 mile an hour, and, you know, we're trying to stay on big schools of them.
You ever catch a bass doing that? Like every ever catfishing?
Yeah, but usually around February, we'll have a good shot of catching a bass doing it.
Big magnum one too.
It's usually not a small one when you catch a bass out there. But it amazes me as much as in the springtime we fish around those cypress trees with cut bait and all that, catching hundreds of catfish, that I've never caught a bass doing it shallow, which blows my mind. Because we'll throw the catfish bait, right up against the cypress trees.
Really? You'd think a big herring near spawning bass would be automatic.
I know. You would think, but so far I ain't caught one yet. So I'll probably catch one tomorrow now that we said it.
They'll probably just bitch it in on that catfish gear. It'll be like a 7-pounder, just mouth open the whole way, no fight.
We actually use a lot of light tackle.
Okay.
Yeah. So my drift rods are 8-foot medium light, like bait caster rods. They're very flimsy.
Oh, you're getting your money's worth out of the fight then.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's my goal. I don't need a hammer rod where my clients will have no fun reeling it in. But yeah. When I fish shallow, I use 6'6" medium heavy spinning rods. Like that's they're awesome. Honestly like little bass rods kinda.
Do you have to cast everyone out by the trees or you just let the clients wing away? I mean, I hooked enough trees in a couple days. I'd imagine you're digging them out of the trees quite a bit.
I'm casting them 90% of the time. Yeah. Usually when we're drifting, you know, I've only run like 4 to 6 rods, and the rods, once I get them out, the rods are doing the work. You know, they're just dragging on the bottom. And so whenever we get a bite, they just go in there and reel them in. It's pretty simple, but it's honestly a lot harder than everybody thinks. I just go out there and catch catfish. They move around just as much as bass do. It kind of helps, like, you know, every day it's like having a tournament every day. I got 8 hours or 6 to 8 hours to make these people happy. In a bass tournament, I got 6 to 8 hours to catch 5 fish. So it kind of keeps my head on that clock every day. You know, whether I'm chasing catfish, stripers, bass, it don't matter.
That's awesome. Do you ever do any duck hunting down there or no?
Oh, yeah. A lot of duck hunting.
I bet. It's kind of set up good for duck hunting around there.
Yeah. It used to be back when we used to have a lot of hydrilla in the 90s, it was the place to come shoot greenheads in the timber. That was Santee Cooper was the place. But ever since we've lost the grass, we lost a lot of the habitat around the lakes. We don't get greenheads anymore. Not many of them.
I saw one. There was a lot of wood parrots flying around though. You must get a lot of those. A
lot of wood ducks down here, but we get a lot of, you know, sea ducks, divers and stuff. We get a lot of ringnecks and all that. We're not far from the coast at all.
Yeah.
Brad, are you going to be able to keep your head out of the turkey game this spring? I know you get your mind pulled towards it pretty hard.
I'm packing up to head to the Classic, and I'm not coming back to Minnesota till May. I'm bringing my shotgun, turkey decoys. You know, I'm bringing it all. You never know when you're going to find a turkey hunt.
This guy was behind the VRBO at Bugs Island, hiding behind a tree, scratching away, trying to buy a Virginia or North Carolina turkey license as one was coming to the tree line.
Almost
during practice.
I think I owl howled at every cove I went to at Kerr Lake last year, or Bugs Island, whatever you want to call it. I've never seen so many people at the boat landing with dead turkeys in their John boats after I just fished all day out there. I was all fired up. That place is going to be a public land hunt.
I think Chancey Walters was actually on a pretty good turkey there, and I guess a bass guy come ripping in and scared it away.
Yeah.
He's going to blast one right out of a skeeter, probably. I don't know what he was going.
I seen Chancey Walters the second day at this tournament. I ain't seen him all week, and I ran into him in the back of a creek, and he hollered at me. He's like, I must be in the right area. I was like, you didn't see the no trespassing sign at the mouth of it?
I can see Chancey now. Oh, you old Magnum. You old herd bull.
Yeah, he was staying with us. He, he's an interesting character. Really, really nice guy. Like,
very nice guy. He's ever since I met him, I don't think we ever introduced ourselves. We just instantly become friends.
Yeah, he was telling us. He's like, yeah, Kyle said he was catching him on a wacky worm, and then I kept pulling up your pictures on bass. I'm like, that looks like a rattle trap to me, Chancey. Yeah.
I started every day with a trap and a spinnerbait, but I promise you, I didn't win the tournament if I didn't throw a wacky worm, so.
Yeah, I was just giving him a hard time.
He's using your bait, Brad.
I know.
Slinging Gary.
Slinging Gary around. This year's the Gary year.
Yeah. I like it. If you come to Santee next time, just tell me if you want to get paid or make a top 10, just put a wacky worm in your hand and throw it for 3 days. I promise you, it'll work out.
It did. That's all I did.
It'll get you a check. Bro, at 7:30 every day, I put all my rods in my rod locker. I got one spinning rod out, and I fish, you know, specific trees every day. Yeah.
It was crazy, though. You kind of touched in on that morning bite. It was crazy how good the morning was there. Like, the first hour or two, it was just lights out, and then it got a lot harder throughout the day.
I was telling Sam, you know, he was Sam George. He was worried about he had spawning fish, you know, sight fish, and he was worried that he didn't have nothing to start on, or you know, he couldn't catch them just fishing. I said, I promise you, if you go to where you got those spawners at, go fish it first thing in the morning. That is my best guide trips. We'll start in like spawning pockets, and then we'll catch. I mean, sometimes we'll have 25 pounds in the first hour, you know, just fishing around. It is the morning for some reason is key.
He had like an ounce on you after day one too.
I know, he got me.
I saw you guys stacked up there, the old roommates.
Yeah, and I got back to weigh and he's like, what you got? It's like, I don't know, like 24. He's like, so do I. He's like, I think I'm gonna beat you. I was like, oh, so you better tighten it up tomorrow because I'm coming.
Yeah, I think if we ever go back, we should do like a stray cast. Catfish trip. That sounds like more fun. I want to see Brucey like hogging one of those big catfish and give me a big hug. Pat Renwick out there screaming at the catfish. It'd be good times.
I know. I'm building a new catfish boat, so it's gonna be a cool one when I get it done.
You gotta put some holes in the floor of her.
Holes in the floor?
Put some holes in the floor, some digging holes.
Oh, yeah. We got to make Brucey feel like he's at home digging through that ice.
Yeah. Holy custom.
One of these days, I'm going to go ice fishing. That's my bucket list. But one of my bucket list things to do.
Yeah. Well, you'll check it off your bucket list and wonder why the hell you did that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, it's nice out now. But when it's cold, it's hell.
Yeah.
If you're going to go ice fishing, Brucey has to take you trout fishing. That's the magnum of all ice fishing.
Yeah.
Catch yourself a big old lake trout.
Hey, I don't care what we reel in. I'm from Santee. We just, whatever it bites, we're reeling in it.
Points outlook on the season. You and your buddy Sam George are both, he's like 39th, I just checked, and you're 23rd.
Yeah.
Were you higher than that last year this time?
I think I'm in the same exact same spot as I was after the third tournament. So yeah, I like being there. I'd rather be in the top nine at the eighth and ninth tournament than at the first three. I mean, we don't get nothing for being, you know, angler of the year right now. So
yeah, And well, you both did the same thing last year, like just playing the long game and just slowly inching up like a couple. Yeah. And then it seems like every year you guys are like right there.
Yeah, we just, I don't know, it's just been around it for a while, man. It's, you get guys at that seventh tournament that are inside the elite cut, and you get them in the fall where it's tough, and it's 12 o'clock and they ain't had a bite yet. The wheels in that head start turning bad. Like, you know, they'll – so I feel like if we could get them to the fall and just keep, our style of fishing, I feel like we could catch back up. It's a lot easier to make up ground in the fall than it is in the springtime.
Yeah, noticed that. I was the guy on the receiving end of that beating.
Yeah.
One of the only things that made me feel better though about dropping out of it is that, and you know, losing bass, is that you lost one. I think you said, I talked to you that day and you said you lost one like right in front of the check-in at Harris Chain that would have put you inside.
I did. I think I needed like a 3-pounder. And I'm not the guy that comes back to weigh in and be like, oh, I lost this and that, because
I know, that's why we believe you.
Yeah. So I actually had one, it was probably 4 or 5 pounder hooked up with like 5 minutes to go up under a dock. And it comes up and just head shakes one time and my bait come flying. And I power pulled down and fished for it for like 5 more minutes. I'm like, please just bite. I mean, it was a train wreck of a day, to say the least. That's for sure.
It's crazy how that even happens. Cause like probably, I mean, especially at that place, there's not really a whole bunch of stuff to fish like on the way to check in. So everyone just picked, you know, there was a stretch on the island on the right side or that stretch of docks on the left. And like, I bet you 120 boats fished that stretch of docks that day.
I know. And I think I had one the late check-in. So, I mean, I know I fished behind 100 people. What made it tough in that last tournament, because I was inside the elite cut going into it. Even after day one, I was still inside of it.
Yeah.
What made it tough was when Milliken and Wesley Gore were in the top 10. Because when they were in the top 10, it kind of only made it available for like 2 more guys to make it.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of blocked the gate of getting in there. So when I slipped out and they made the top 10, it was a done deal at that point.
And you've been close 2 other times. Is that right?
Yeah. In 21, I was close in one division. I think it was like the central division. And it was like the same thing. After day one of Grand Lake, I was inside the elite cut. And then day two, I had, you know, a disaster day and end up falling out pretty bad. But I don't think it would have mattered because some guys caught them and they ended up catching back up anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you seem to be rebounding pretty damn good from it.
Yeah.
It's like just old hat, like just get at her again. How old are you? Like how many years are you going to give this a go just until you make it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think if people that have an answer to that, they're not ready to fish for a living anyway. I don't know. I'm 25 years old. I fish for a living now. So, I mean, I live the dream I've always wanted, whether I'm chasing catfish or just fishing in general. I got good sponsors behind me, whether I'm fishing the opens or fishing anything. So, I mean, right now I live the dream I've always dreamed of having. So whether I qualify for the elites or not, I'm still fishing for a living and having fun doing it. So I don't know how long I'll be fishing the opens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little more realistic to stick around in the opens for a while now. Like the coverage is beefed up, the payout's beefed up. There's lots of full-time anglers fishing it. Like it's, you know, it's almost just like another, well, it is just another national tour now with.
It is. I mean, it's stout competition. I just said that on Bassmaster Radio. I think this tournament, you know, this was the strongest guys I've ever fished against on my home lake. You know, I mean, I fished Toyotas and other, you know, AAA tournaments. And I mean, these guys are really good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think you could take the top 30 in the opens or top 40 and they could go to the elite series tomorrow and probably compete for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you just need a little bit to go your way, like a little bit of, you hate to say luck, but you just got to land on the right side of that bounce. Yeah. You got to think it's going to happen one of these days.
Yeah, you definitely got to have a little luck in it at some point. I mean, there's no doubt. Everybody has a lucky moment throughout the year, seems like.
Yep. Yeah.
Sense. Well, it should be a lot easier lake this year. The final lake is Hartwell, where I don't think... It's a lot easier fishing Hartwell than Florida in the fall, I would think, you know, for catching fish and getting a decent bag. It'll probably be harder to move around, though, in Hartwell. The points probably won't move around a lot.
Yeah, I think going into Hartwell, if you're going to qualify, I think you need to be inside that cut already, or I mean, you need to be like one or two guys out of it. I don't think you're going to see a guy come from 19th or 20th and make it that last tournament. Hartwell stacks the weights. It's kind of like fishing up north where the weights are very stacked, and
yeah,
everybody seems to catch them there.
Yeah, like if someone bombs and doesn't catch them, they'll have 11. You know, they're still going to catch.
Yeah,
Right.
That's going to be interesting. I think the real curveball is going to be the Leech Lake, Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's going to be freaking wild to watch.
I know. We got to keep the local street going. Oh, Brad.
I can't really say I'm a local.
Backpedal now, Brad.
Yeah. I live within 3 hours of it, so that's pretty local for an open for me, but yeah.
Don't worry. Before this tournament, I told everybody I'm just a catfish guy. I don't even bass fish Santee anymore.
Hey, I used to guide ice fishing on Leech all the time for walleyes and perch. So I'm just a walleye guy.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh yeah. There's going to be some deep fryers barking at that one. The boys will be harvesting the walleyes for sure.
Oh, I will cut the sides out of a walleye. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you will catch plenty up there.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like the schedule. I like the curveballs. I mean, places we've never been to. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it's been cool to watch. Fun to follow. Yeah. What's next? That you guys aren't at her till June now, right?
May 2nd.
Yeah. Logan That's, Martin.
Okay. I don't know why I thought June. Huh. Oh, it's a nice little break. A little classic break.
Yeah. Y'all are going to the classic, both of you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I'll be that drunk guy at the bar falling over. That's what I usually do.
I like the bar, so that's why
I'll see you there. I'll text you where we're at. Bruce is a good bouncer too. Brucey has a big stature to him. He's like a football player.
I'm gonna park my truck camper just right outside of wherever we're going in Tulsa to party. Just live in the parking lot, maybe.
I seen your new camper. Everything looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been cool. Now that I'm not on the road for 9 tournaments, I figure I better get a truck camper to sit at home.
Now the truck camper, I'm actually living in a camper in my parents' backyard. We're building a house right now. So we're kind of homeless.
Yeah. Well, you just went to granite countertops from laminate with the wind, I bet.
I know. My wife, she's damn already wanting to buy all this crazy stuff. I'm like, can we just act like we never won that money?
No.
Yard sale it. That's awesome, man. Sounds like a perfect time for a good bump. And I mean, you got to think that's going to give you like something to fall back on mentally for the season, you know, just something to look forward to. Like having it out of the way that early is, you know, it ain't gonna hurt things.
No definitely it definitely makes it a little less stressful just because, I mean, I'm in the position – I'm 25. I'm about to start paying a pretty stout mortgage because interest rates are through the roof. So just a lot of things are about to change in my life. You know, expenses I ain't never really had to pay. You know, I've been planning on it. I've been working on saving money, whatever. But it definitely helps the cause a little bit.
Yeah, man. What else we got for this fella, Brad?
I mean, he's kind of covered it all. I was more interested in the catfishing, but
it seems like I've done like two different, I did a Bassmaster Radio and y'all, and I've talked about catfishing more than I talked about that I just want catching bass on Santee.
Well, everyone's going to ask you about bass fishing. We got to talk about catfishing. Obviously, you're good at bass fishing. We got to find out the juice on catfishing.
Yeah,
there's not many catfish guides in the open, so.
Yeah, not many of them. Well, I mean, when I quit my job, I wanted a guide, and I was going to bass guide, but I knew to guide full-time, year-round, you're going to have to chase a different species. So I grew up catfishing, and I just kind of got into it. And I do it a little different than most of the old-school guys. I use side scan a lot, and a lot of the old-school guides, they don't even know how to cut side scan on. So that's how I find them. I just idle until I find them, and when we find them, we usually catch them pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd imagine they don't hide real well on those.
No, they pop up when you find the right ones. It's mind blowing how many there is.
You're counting whiskers.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll leave you to it. Congratulations again. Gonna be following you the rest of the season. I'm sure you're gonna be right there at the end of it, and best of luck to you, bud. We'll see you at the Classic.
I appreciate y'all. I'll see you
at the Classic. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, man. Cheers. Thank y'all.
Take care.
Thanks.
Well, Brad?
Oh. Yeah, he's a good guest. Awesome.
Yeah. Can carry a conversation. That's a big part of fishing for a living, I think, especially guiding. Imagine just being a guide and sitting there all day like a damn potato.
Yeah, I know some that are like that, but yeah, I mean, and the cool thing about Kyle is you can tell he's a hard worker. He's worked for everything in his life, and you got to respect that. Like, that is, a lot of people don't work for it like he does.
Yeah, you're in that W for sure. Super pumped for him. That was, you know, who I was pulling for. That's why I tuned in on the last day, and nice to see you do good there, and fun to watch the EQ leaderboard swap around. So are we going to fire one up before the next Derby? We got to, right?
Oh yeah, we're definitely going to fire one up. We're going to have a guest on the next one that he hasn't been on very many podcasts, and he is going to be a stellar guest. I'm not going to say who, but it is going to be a good one.
All right. I trust you. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to check out the Omnia Premium Pro app. Put it down in the description below, and we'll see you guys on the next one.